Hey there, Tim and Trudy here with After Class, talking about Sunday's lesson and continuation of our series, The Missing Piece, about Thanksgiving, gratitude, and more than just what we do that one day of the year, but what we should be doing all the time. And the lesson, Seeing the Extraordinary Among the Ordinary.
Yeah.
Where'd that title come in for you?
Mainly just kept bumping into that amongst the examples that I wove through the scripture, you know, through the lesson from scripture.
And then that end part you were talking about with
the times that Jesus marveled.
The times that Jesus marveled and right. How he saw. Yeah. So as we've been going along in this series, what really jumped out at you as you were preparing this lesson?
Well, there was a lot of things, really, to try to cut these down. The series as a whole, I know will most likely always impact you and I more than it probably will anybody else, because we spend so much time studying and preparing and meditating and pondering, and they're sitting through the class, you know, listening to it 30 minutes, you know, hopefully they'll keep thinking about it, but I recognize that it's just not going to be the same. But I have just so appreciated the way that the Holy Spirit has made this come alive in my heart. I had to learn it as a person years ago like I said, in the very first week, I'm going to keep learning this until I breathe my last breath. And part of that is my nature. You know, I think I tend to be a glass half empty person. You know, I talked about those people who are very creative can also run the danger of being critical because they see where something can be better. You know, so if they're not careful to look with those eyes of grace, it can come out critical. And I recognize that that's an issue that I will always have to guard. So that's been a big thing that I've learned. Just like a week into this series, there was an issue that was just weighing so heavy on my heart. And I don't like to go to bed with something heavy on my heart. So it's not uncommon for you and I to pray together before we go to bed. And you offered up a beautiful prayer, as you always do. I just am always so comforted by the very humble words that you choose to lift up to Yahweh. You're not talking to me, you're talking to him. And I appreciate prayers like that. Sometimes when people pray, they're really talking to the people, mm-hmm. and I don't like that. But you offered a beautiful prayer. But because this is so fresh on my mind, we got to the very end and I said, where's our with thanksgiving? And so we stopped at the, you know, the prayer was over, mm-hmm. but we continued, you and I both, verbalizing the thanksgiving that we had that was connected to the need that we were praying over. And I tell you what, it just lifted that whole burden. I'm hoping that they're hearing this through each week. What this with thanksgiving does, especially when it's in the context of that scripture verse of with thanksgiving, with your prayers and petition, it enlarges your hope. You know, it expands your hope. You're not just rattling off a prayer. You're planting those seeds of prayer in a soil of hope because of that with thanksgiving. And it just makes such a difference. At least it has in me. And then the other thing about this week that I loved was the whole issue of marveling, you know, awakening ourselves to this sense of wonder and awe and marveling in the ordinary and finding the extraordinary. And that's just been, pretty special for me.
Yeah. And all very good and powerful when we put it into practice.
Yeah, I'm thankful. Tell you one thing I'm thankful for. Those four pastors who left out with thanksgiving, because that's what prompted my thinking of why do we keep doing that?
Yeah.
And I enjoyed the after class last week. I got to finally listen to that today of you and Charlie and Heather. Mm. And that was one of the things of we tend to unintentionally edit that out of so many areas of our life, just as they did when they were speaking off the cuff.
Yeah. Well, let me try something here that we haven't done before, which is, let me walk through your points. And one of the reasons I want to do this is,
see if they made sense.
Well, see if anything,
I do that. You know, I do go through my handout when I'm done to say, have I hit what I wanted to have hit?
Yeah. See, and we do that differently as well. I'm doing the handout as I go along.
In fact, I do.
I'm creating the handout actually creates the lesson for me in a way.
Yeah, I usually start out with a very skeletal outline of what I want to hit. I write the lesson as I'm writing so that I don't forget an important point. I'll highlight it because to remind myself I want that to be a point. And then I'll go through everything. Usually there's other points that I want to make. And then when I'm all finished, I look at my handout and go, does this make sense? Is this a flow? Can somebody take this paper? I don't want such a skeletal handout that has just some kind of little catchy point that if they look at it later, they're not going to remember anything. You know, I want it to be points that they can re-remember and rehear what they heard the first time.
Yeah.
So anyway, I sidetracked that. Sorry.
Yeah. And if you're ever doing a handout, that's a good thing to remember because we've all sat through either messages or lessons where the outline is he remembered, and it's
what does that mean to me you know, it might be cute, it might be catchy, but it's not teaching, it's not reteaching me something later when I go back and look at that.
Anywho, your first point was actually a repeat of the same thing we've said every week during the series, gratitude.
Yes,
the ability to see grace and the corresponding desire to affirm it and its giver as good. But this week we highlighted the word
see. That was my focus point of that verse.
Yeah.
We need the ability to see. That's where this whole seeing the extraordinary among the ordinary, the people of Nazareth, they failed to see.
Mm. Yeah.
And so other people fail to see and they miss out on what God has for them because they fail to see. They fail to see. They're not going to express gratitude. They're not going to have gratitude. They're not going to express thanks. They're not going to get joy. And that's the whole thing with this. And it was one of the points somewhere I had written down in here that I wanted to remember to tell myself was that we're not doing all of this with thanksgiving to our prayers to make him more amiable to granting us our request. It's not changing him one iota, but boy, it sure is changing us, and it will change us. It enlarges our hope. It just changes so much about our character and how we pray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Second point, people who envision the most improvements can also become the most critical.
Yeah, I've already talked about that, kind of how that hit home for me. Yeah. I think that's true. I think people with a really critical eye, in fact, I teased one time, somebody had asked my opinion about something, and I'm hesitant when I'm asked straight, but I can have an opinion. And I kind of joked. I said, I don't know necessarily what you need to do, but I can tell I don't like that and why. You know, I can see what I don't like and see why I don't like it. I might not have a good plan for what needs to be done. And so that's kind of but I joked about it being the gift of criticism. And that came to backfire on me later. Somebody used it against me. But
but it's a blessing. guard your power of observation so it is used in helpful, thankful ways.
Right. It's the same. If you're a highly creative, highly observant person, you're going to see details other people won't see. And that's great. But be careful how that comes out of your mouth, that it is seen with eyes of grace and used to encourage, uplift, promote change, and not just discourage or muddy the water with some kind of sharp or critical or negative tongue.
Yeah. Complaining and gratitude cannot coexist. One will consume the attention that the other requires.
Right.
Without thankfulness, your heart will never have enough, never be at peace, and never fully mature.
Yeah. No matter what you have. One of the things that I read, I think it might have been the article Rachel gave me, there was a word used in front of the word treadmill, and I can't remember what it was, but basically it was saying, when you finally get that better thing that you wanted, that extra thing that you wanted, that more that you wanted, whatever that thing that you thought you needed, once you get that, it's like the back to the headwinds, tailwinds. When you finally get those tailwinds, you're not satisfied. And I can't remember the term they used. It was something treadmill that you just keep on going. You're never going to be at rest. You're never going to be at peace because you're going to keep striving for not to keep improving yourself, but because that satisfaction and contentment and gratitude isn't there. It's going to just sour and you're going to want something else. You're not going to appreciate those tailwinds.
Yeah. A contented heart is a grateful heart and has peace no matter the circumstance.
That's where we jumped into Paul's, I have learned to be content. And the difference between contentment and complacency. I think people settle and they think it's a good thing and it's not. It's being complacent isn't a compliment.
No. And being complacent, as you said, is not contentment.
Right.
contentment fuels spiritual action and growth.
Because Paul said, I've learned to be content, and I can do.
And I press on.
Right.
Yeah. Remember to see and appreciate the tailwinds in life.
Yep, that was all based on that study, because I wanted them to remember the study.
Yeah.
It's not that that point was really whoop-de-doo, but I wanted them to remember across the board. In fact, I wished I could have read some minds when I used the political example. Even then, I saw some leaning and whispering, which was, you know, in my brain was, okay, are you still making fun of the other political party? Because look in the mirror, look in the mirror. You know, those headwinds and tailwinds, everybody was doing it. Siblings, so the sports teams were amusing, you know, how they studied and ferreted out those details of. And the other thing I liked about the study that I didn't talk about is people will frequently do a self-sabotaging in those kind of headwinds, tailwinds things, and they'll pad, oh, you know, I didn't get much sleep, so this is why, you know, they pad all these reasons why their team might not do good, or their political party might struggle, or, you know, this might happen, so that in case it really does go bad, then they can save face. You know, they have a reason, they have an excuse, and it's a self-sabotaging technique that brings no gratitude and no thankfulness.
Yeah. The heart becomes disgruntled when it fails to actively find contentment in the benefits that come our way.
It's back to those tailwinds, but you have to look for them. You know, the tailwinds happen, you appreciate it, but they're, you know, minutes later, you're taking them for granted. They're normal to you now, so you're no longer grateful for them.
Well, and what I find interesting in that point, in that sentence there, that point is when the heart fails to actively find contentment.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we think contentment is just something that happens to us.
Right.
And falls on us.
Right.
And this is saying you have to actively
see, which is why that's where we started. You have got to actively see.
Yeah. Holy gratitude is fully awake and brimming with appreciation, no matter the relative size of the blessing.
I love that sentence. I can't remember exactly which source I got that one from, but I like that one.
Yeah. Hang on. I'm just thinking about that a second. Okay.
Because you like it or don't like it?
Yeah, I like it. There's a lot to it.
Yeah, it is. It was a very dense statement.
And it kind of, it reminds me of something. And I don't want to take the time here to mull that over because I'm slow sometimes in figuring that out. But it's reminiscent of something in Scripture to me, and I can't quite find it right now.
Well, and I even calling it holy gratitude. I mean, I made one of my points, I don't think it was a point, but gratitude is a spiritual activity. You know, rocks cannot express gratitude, but we living beings who were created to worship can express that gratitude.
Yeah. Thankfulness greatly intensifies the ability to marvel.
Yeah. I don't know that somebody... And gratitude and thankfulness are not the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, thankfulness is one of the ways we express gratitude. But I think somebody with a very low gratitude meter will have a very low to non-existent marvel meter. And I don't have data to back that up, but everything that I have read and common sense tells me that's probably very true. Mm-hmm. I think one will boost the other. Mm-hmm. And the more you are cultivating that gratitude in big and small ways in your life, the more things you see, and the more you see, the more you're pausing to notice the extraordinary among the ordinary, and you can't help but marvel. You can't help but be in awe. You know, don't pass by those moments because, you know, it's just Jesus of Nazareth. I mean, he's in town. We knew him. You know, don't pass by those, what feels ordinary. Pay attention to, like we talked about, the dragonflies and the sunsets.
And do you think that probably a childlike wonder is highly related to a childlike faith?
Absolutely. Yeah. 100% agree with that.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm skipping one. We were designed by Yahweh to marvel and to benefit from marveling. So.
Right. And that's where I brought in the different medical and psychological studies that are not faith-based to show us what Awe and Marvel does to us physically. I mean, he designed us to marvel and to benefit from marveling. And again, it's not a changing him, it's changing us.
Yeah.
And he did that for us.
Yeah, because everything is from Yahweh, thank him for the specifics.
Yeah, I really like this. This was such a very simple thing, and I have shared that probably more than any other point with others in the past few weeks, and the response is always the same. Oh, I like that. You know, just instead of saying, thank you for the food, man, thank you for these mashed potatoes. Man, they are so creamy. You know, that butter melting on top is so good. And then using that, if you're a parent especially, teaching them that, teaching them how to be specific over the things that they're grateful for. And that's what made me think of the apologies, because I think those are very similar. Mm-hmm. Don't do a general apology and avoid doing a bunch of general thankfulness as well. Be specific.
Yeah.
And let me, I know we're probably talking too much.
No, we're
but fine. Another thing I thought of too when I was talking about that, and I didn't say it in class, be that way when you're thanking someone and think of how much richer and how much more delightful to their ears and to their heart a thank would be when you're specific, instead of just saying, you know, oh, you know, thanks for teaching that lesson, or thank you for giving me that gift. You know, thank you for giving me that gift. I have looked at those before and I really want to, you know, when you expand on that, you know, thanks for that sermon you just preached. This particular point here, man, that hit home and here's why. You know, when you expand on that, it's going to trigger delights within you as you share that, but man, it's going to ping delights in the person, the giver of that you're thanking and that you're expressing gratitude as well.
Yeah, yeah. Expressing gratitude today opens up the possibility of developing an enlarged capacity for marveling tomorrow.
Yeah, and you've pretty much said that one just a minute ago when you're introducing how are those two connected?
Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
Those who marvel speak.
Yeah, you can't look at something marvelous and feel that marvel and not say anything. It just is automatic. Now, whether you're going to pay attention to that is another thing. You know, if you're not paying attention, you're not going to feel the marvel and wonder. But it's really hard to see something amazing, you know, fireworks going off in the sky, a shooting star, standing in front of the Grand Canyon, Niagara Falls, those things. You know, the move of the Holy Spirit in a service, those things that make you, that capture your awe and wonder, you can't help but say something about it.
If it's just as much as wow.
Wow. Yeah. And that's why I use those words, because those are tags that you'll remember. You know, when's the last time you said, wow, fantastic, amazing, you know, get a load of that. You know, this is incredible. If those aren't things that you can remember the last time you said something like that, then you probably really aren't marveling too much. Mm-hmm.
Marveling and gratitude is a subcategory of a larger thing, worship.
Yeah, it all goes back to worship. And we've been saying that from week one. All of this trails back to the giver, the marvelous of all marvelous, because everything comes from him.
Yeah. And the last one, what made Jesus marvel was the ability to see the difference between the extraordinary and the ordinary.
Yeah. And that was back to the only two times in scripture we have any kind of recording of Jesus marveling. So, one was a positive belief and a positive unbelief, but both had to do with seeing the difference between ordinary and extraordinary.
Okay. And all that, anything else you left out?
We're pulling from, I probably use, I don't know, at least six different resources for this one lesson, but we have two primary books that we've been using outside of scripture. And I was supposed to do two chapters out of each book, so melding the four chapters together. I did maybe a chapter and a half out of one and almost nothing out of the other two, simply because I got off on marveling and headwinds and tailwinds. I just felt like that was what I needed to go. But one of the things that one of the books ties in, which I think is relevant and important, and that is the act of remembering and how that impacts Thanksgiving. But we had just done a series on remembering, and it's not like they're going to remember all of that. But because of that, I didn't feel like if I had to leave something on the table, it was going to be that. But the Bible links Thanksgiving and remembrance as a very key way of strengthening God's people. And one of the statements in the book, he said, present fears and future anxieties are calmed by past faithfulness. Not our faithfulness, but God's faithfulness. Remembering generates thanksgiving. And it does. Mm-hmm. That's kind of it in a nutshell. But remembering would have been the only other thing that I felt was super important, but I just didn't have time for it.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, are we going to do this to you when you teach and make you go through your lesson, like your handout, like I just had to do?
I don't know. I was trying it. See how it works. you're able to expound much, much better, I think, than I'm able to. So we'll see.
Are you saying I talk more than you do?
No, you're able to relate a lot of good stuff there.
Thank you.
I'll tell you, one of the reasons I did that was because you weren't aware, but I was... The person running your slides Sunday was failing in the beginning, so
I think they
missed one of those in the very beginning, getting the blank. So if you were in class and you missed one of those blanks, you just got them because I read them all.
Well, nobody said anything to me after class, so it must have not been
important. I think they figured it out.
Okay.
But we're running longer than we usually do tonight. Yeah, that's fine.
That's mine. That's all on me.
No, it's a good thing. I like it. But I asked you before we started, how would you summarize all of this?
This lesson or the series?
Yeah, no, this lesson. How would you put this into a sentence or so?
Well, I can already feel in my mouth, I'm going to be zeroing in on the wonder part, and that's not all the lesson was about. But it would probably be, and I hate talking off the cuff like that. That's really hard when you put me on the spot. Something along the lines of Yahweh has designed us to wonder, to see the extraordinary among the ordinary as a means of drawing us closer to Him, worshiping, appreciating, and benefiting from that. All the benefits fall on our side of the table if we are willing to stop and take the time to see and to pay attention. It's that all back to that word see, which was the very first plank of the day. You being having the ability to see.
Yeah. The reason I asked you to summarize that is that's the toughest thing for me to do every week. I make the description on the podcast itself, and then when I post Facebook, I always put something there. Sometimes they're the same. Sometimes I describe them differently. For this week, I described them differently, and on Facebook, I said, "If you struggle with everyday gratitude, it might be a vision problem."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
You should ask me that question, though, like when I've just finished preparing the lesson, because then all that's, what did I make brim up to the top? You know, because that's usually what I'm looking back. You know, what's my main point here? What am I, what I want them to try to remember?
I don't remember then that I'm going to have a description coming up that I would figure out.
Yeah. See, like I like when we do the after class, literally after class, because everything is so fresh on my mind. It's amazing how 24 hours of... especially a day like today when there's a lot of childcare involved with grandchildren. I have to pull all that back up again. But that was kind of fun. It was kind of fun to go through it again. But it excites me when the Holy Spirit is stirring stuff inside me.
Yeah. Well, it was good. And we have one more week in the series. So enjoy your Thanksgiving the day and enjoy your Thanksgiving the action every day.
Yeah, and I will say, if you're listening and you're kind of hit or miss on class or hit or miss on the podcast, don't miss next week. To me, next week is the weightiest week of them all, and it's really where the rubber hits the road, is how in the world am I supposed to have Thanksgiving and gratitude when things are horrible, you know, when things are hard, when my circumstances don't feel fair and life is hard. How am I supposed to still do that?
Yeah, threw the gauntlet down for me. Okay.
Yeah, there you go. It's all in your lap, bud.
All right, we'll see you there. 10:15 Sunday morning.